Hello, and welcome back to Cavancast. I had to take a deep breath before I started there because I was a bit. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just gotta take a deep breath. Do it now. Take a deep breath. Should we do it together? Should we do it together now? Let's do it. Okay, are you ready? Good. Okay, better. Hi, welcome back. Hope you're doing well. I've been enjoying coffee shops recently. I kind of get it now. Last time I spoke about overhearing that book club in the coffee shop a couple of weeks ago. Do you remember? Where one of the women was hustling and trying to get her followers up on Goodreads. I hope she's doing well. I hope she's gained followers since I eavesdropped their conversation. But the only reason I was in that coffee shop in the first place is because I had a couple of hours to kill while my van was getting MOT'd, which it passed, by the way, with flying colors. Like the absolute don that it is. So proud of him. So proud of him. But I found myself really enjoying it. And this is coming from someone who doesn't often enjoy things that much, which sounds like a sad sentence to say, but it's not that I don't find things enjoyable. It's that I'm often so hypervigilant in the world that I just don't have space to relax and space to relax enough to enjoy things like sitting in a coffee shop. And I'm starting now to get to the point where I can, and it's nice. I've been building up a really decent toolkit of mental health strategies that's allowing me to do stuff like that. So I finally understand the whole sitting in the coffee shop thing and working and finding peace in the world happening around me, I guess. Seeing it as a good thing instead of a threatening one. So that's nice. That's cool to have. On the flip side, a not so nice thing is that my marathon training has taken a bit of a hit because I have screwed up my knee by going too hard, too fast. I imagine it was that. So I'm taking a little bit of time off, and hopefully it won't make that much of a difference. I may end up going slower than I plan to be, but by Joe, I will finish this marathon. By Joe? By Job? What's the word? I feel like it's Joe. We're going to go with Joe. Wait, hang on. It's neither. It's Jove. Love that. So it's Latin, and it originated as Jove was another name for the Roman god Jupiter. So it's basically saying, my God, or by God, I guess. There you go. Little lesson to start off the podcast with. I forgot where I was then. What are we doing? Is this a TV show? So as dodgy as my leg is, if you would like to help towards me running the marathon with all the confidence that I'm sure I instilled there, you can do so at justgiving.com/cavernsrun. That's justgiving.com/cavernsrun. I'm running it in April for Alzheimer's Research UK, a charity very close to my heart. A couple of people have asked if they reached out to me. No, I wanted to run for them. So it's just very close to my heart. So The target I've placed is £3,000, and I'm hopeful that we can hit that. I think so. I think that's realistic. So yeah, anything you'd like to donate towards that would mean the world to me. JustGiving.com/Caverns Run. Cheers. What else has been happening? Not a crazy amount. It's been busy, but just in a way that's been very routine-filled, which my brain likes. Get up, stretch, brush my teeth, stare at myself in the mirror with complete disdain. Oh no, that was before. Now it's positive. I've just ripped off the Grinch there, haven't I? You might get birdsong in the background, by the way. There's birds tweeting today. My little co-host. I got reminded of my old co-hosts in like way back in season one. The squirrel and the fly. I forgot about them. It's like 2.5 years since, that's crazy. Since I started the podcast, but when I used to do it in the van, you know, I used to have these little animal co-hosts. I was basically Snow White. Just with these animals or insects turning up and just, you know, giving their opinions on this. Oh, the owl. O.T. McFlap. And the pheasants. Oh my God, it was a menagerie. What a time. I should go back. I just need to go back up to Scotland, I think, and record more of the podcast up there. Anyway, what have I been doing? Yeah, okay, you're staring at myself in the mirror with a bit less disdain. It doesn't help I actually bought a full-length mirror that sits at the end of my bed. It's interesting, actually, that I'm a content creator who half the time has to stare at himself in the mirror while talking to himself. Oh my God. My entire career is just me talking to myself. It's either here, now, or like into a microphone in general, or into a mirror. Like, I know I'm talking to you. I know you're listening. I know you're listening. I hope you're listening. You know what? Even if you're not, I hope I'm, whatever you're doing, I hope I'm like in the background somewhere being supportive. You might also be asleep already. If so, that's fine. That's fine. I hope you're having a wonderful nap. See? Supportive. I'm rooting for you. Whatever you're doing, I'm in your corner. I'm in the corner. But yeah, literally speaking, 90% of my career is me talking to myself. I suppose that's the case for most content creators, though. But the mirror thing amps it up slightly, I guess. Maybe I should stop. Maybe it's not healthy. Nah, it's fine. If you haven't been here before, while I talk to you and myself, this is for you to chill out to, or do whatever you want to do, really. I use a random word generator to generate 5 random words, and then I talk about them with whatever comes to mind. Be it vague, be it specific, factual, anecdotal, weird, normal, who knows? But I'll be talking about it while you maybe hang out in a coffee shop. I don't know, run a marathon, read a book. Okay, the last two, maybe not. Actually, no. I listen to podcasts when I do long runs. Now, it sort of zones me out and stops me running too fast. It's good for my pace. That's a running term. Yeah, I'm so close to getting one of those watches as well, being a proper runner. What was I talking about? Yeah, whatever you're doing. Actually, well, yeah, if you're reading a book, if you can listen to me speak words in your head while reading words on a page that are different, I'm impressed. Yeah, unless my voice just sort of turns into white noise while you read. I don't know. I hope you're enjoying your book. if that is what you're doing. But you probably wouldn't be listening to me. So I hope you're enjoying your book. There, that probably got your attention. Sorry to interrupt. As you were. Now I am going to start chatting about some random words, if that's all right. And the first word of today is overtake. Overtake. Emphasis. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to, like, straight away, I'm going to go completely away from the vibe, the chilled out vibe of this podcast and talk about road rage. Why not? See? Never know what you're going to get with me. Oh, I'm so unpredictable. I'm so mysterious. Inconsistent is the word we should actually use. A very inconsistent human being. Unpredictable kind of has like an allure to it. It's kind of exciting, keeps you on your toes. Inconsistent is just mildly annoying. And much like road rage, most of the time, mildly annoying. And my road rage has got a lot better over the years. It was never that bad, but I think I know why it was as bad as it was. And the answer is Mario Kart. They always say, right, they always say that video games cause violence. And when they say that, they're talking about Grand Theft Auto, Call of Duty, Animal Crossing. You never know. But those games don't cause violence. They really don't at all. The game they should be talking about is fucking Mario Kart. Mario Kart will end friendships, end relationships, break up families, cause unknown levels of, cortisol in a person's system, leading to higher levels of stress and dysregulation, especially if you're shit. Now, I'm good at Mario Kart. I'm very good at Mario Kart. I've won Mario Kart tournaments at conventions and parties alike. But was I always good? No, I wasn't. I don't know if I was ever that bad, but I used to hang around people who were far better. And I reckon I was so conditioned into being frustrated at it because I lost so many times because of these people, because I always hung around with like the older kids and they had way more experience than me and they just kicked my ass a lot and they just beat me a lot and I reckon I was so conditioned into being frustrated about it that it leaked into my actual driving when I started to drive. Thinking about it, that's probably why it took me so many attempts to actually pass my driving test. You know, when I should have been checking my mirrors and signaling and maneuvering, I was actually checking my mirrors for a blue shell or a red shell. And then all of a sudden, oh, skipped a red light. FYI, not my fault. If you get that reference, you win many points. I'm talking about this like everybody here has played Mario Kart. I feel like most people know what Mario Kart is, but it's a Nintendo game where loads of Nintendo characters, you just race them. It's just a racing game, and you can sabotage each other with items, like throwing shells at people or bananas or bombs. It's incredible. One of the best games ever invented, I think. And worst. I never really had bad road rage, to be honest. I think it wasn't that bad because I'm British, and there's only like a certain level of road rage you can reach if you're British, I think. If you've ever seen British road rage compilations, you'll know what I mean. Most of the time on these compilations, the clip will be from the point of view of a dash cam facing outward to the road with a mic on it. Something will happen, something non-highway codey, and you'll hear the driver of the dash cam car utter something very angry, but also kind of reserved at the same time. It's almost like they have a limiter on their voice, like a ceiling of some kind. And the worst you get is something along the lines of, "Oh, you fucking twat!" Like it's like in the throat. It's like there's, it's like you can't get too annoyed, but this is definitely like valid. It's definitely valid to get annoyed at and to get really angry at, but also you're British. So, "Oh, you stupid bastard!" Something like that. That's about it. That's what those compilations consist of. But it's a great pastime. It really is. So if you ever want something a little less chill than this podcast, but still something quite entertaining with a decent amount of comedic value. Am I saying that this podcast has comedic value? Well, I find it funny, at least. So that's something. Sometimes. Like once or twice, for sure. I am funny. And that is on self-validation. What am I gonna do? I am going to use this segment of the podcast to give a little PSA. A little public service announcement, as we're talking about overtaking. A little call out, perhaps. If you are a driver, and you do drive on the motorways, or any roads with three lanes or more, I'm all for being relaxed and chilled out, as you know. But if you're doing it, please don't do it in the middle or outer lanes of the motorway, or freeway, or whatever you call it where you are. It really is just, it's not cricket, okay? Which is a phrase I'm not sure I've ever used in real life before. I don't know why that came into my head. But by Jove, there you go. But by Jove, I mean it. It's just not cricket. I'm imagining that phrase exists because there is a massive amount of respect and etiquette surrounding the sport of cricket. And if something isn't cricket, it isn't that. It's just not on. There's no respect. It's just not cricket. But yeah, if you do hang out in the middle lane, just cruising at, I don't know, 50 miles an hour, please, please, kindly and safely fucking move. It is greatly appreciated. And I know I'm not guiltless. I too have been known to express unintentional levels of nonchalance when in the middle lane of a motorway. But I always strive to be more chalant wherever I can. And so should you. Speaking of staying in lanes, 21 Pilots are back. And I'm fascinated by the apparent explanation of the law that's come about. 21 Pilots, I'm sure a lot of you know, but if you don't know, they are a band. It's not a load of aviation professionals. It's two dudes who have created this whole world, built this whole world that has been very cryptic up until now. There's a whole story and characters, and no one's really too sure what's been going on and what's behind it all. Over the course of three albums, and then they went away for a bit, and they're coming back. But they've just dropped a video explaining like all the characters and the story of this entire world, which is crazy. Everyone's like, "What?" And I'm like, "What?" So, you know, that's exciting to see. That's good. I'm a big fan of world building in general, but especially with bands. Like 21 Pilots, Bring Me the Horizon, 1975, kind of. I've kind of been late to the game on that, but I love what they do. Just concepts, man. It's really cool. I really like it. Something I want to lean into. Might as well put this overactive imagination to something. Hey. That's what they used to tell me as a kid, that I had an overactive imagination. Always bloody daydreaming, that kid. Well, now we know why. Say it with me, kids. Dissociation. Some of you probably went ADHD, but I don't know if I've got that. I do know I dissociated. Sometimes it definitely was just daydreaming, but not all the time. And you know what? It's given me some great ideas. So it's not all a waste. So I'm happy. And you know what? That is how we have to view stuff. We cannot control the things that have happened to us, but we can try to use them to make the world around us a bit better because of it. Of course, you don't have to. There's no obligation. But it's better than making it worse, because then it just carries on to other people. It's like a chain, keeps going down. And the thing is, like, the recipe of things that have made up you will have insights in it, like little footnotes that no one else will be able to have. So you may as well find out how much of a difference it can make. It's probably quite a bit. More than you think. And that is good for overtake, I think. So now let's zoom on over to the next word. Did you like that? My little Doppler effect. Tomato. Tomato. I could have sworn tomato has come up before, but I guess not. Maybe I've spoken about them before. I'm going to start talking and maybe something will come up. Who knows? Tomatoes are like one of the things I always think about when I think about how things change naturally over the course of time. And I'm not talking about literally the growth of a tomato from seed to plant to bud to tomato. No, I used to fucking hate tomatoes. And now I really like them. And I don't mean like, I used to just not like the way they tasted. They used to literally make me feel ill. Like, to the point of, yeah. But for some reason, one day, a few years ago, I was sat in a cafe. I've definitely spoken about this before. I was sat in a cafe and I ordered a full English breakfast, I think. Yeah. Because I can't imagine ordering anything else that would come with tomatoes without me asking for them. And a full English is like my favorite thing. It really is. Bacon, sausages, chips, toast, egg, hash browns. God damn. If you ever end up at a party with me and we're still there the next morning, count yourself lucky. Because I will make the best full English ever. With vegetarian stuff and vegan stuff, if that's your bag. Because it's like making it helps me feel better. It was the first time I think I ever understood cooking being therapeutic. Probably because I loved it so much and I knew I would be good at it. Whereas I would not find making a lasagna, I guess, maybe. I don't know. Lasagna isn't too bad. Anything that involves real timing or, like, precision, I would find very stressful. Saying that, my timing for full Englishes isn't always that good either. I'm struggling to remember everything I talked about with you before. Oh, man. Oh, I'm hoping you'll do that thing that I do when I'm in conversation with someone and they say, have I spoken about this before? And I go, I'm not sure. And then they start talking. And after a little bit, then I go, oh yeah, you did talk about this before. I remember you talking about this. Because if that's the case, then you've both kind of forgotten that it's been spoken about before. And you're both like, oh yeah. And, and it's fine. and neither of you have to feel bad. That's what I'm going for at the moment. But yeah, my full Englishes aren't always great. I was trying to make one once for my best friend and his fiance in the morning a while ago when I was staying at theirs. And when everything seemed to be going absolutely swimmingly, the timing was all on point, everything was fine, it was all wonderful. Suddenly, without warning, out of nowhere, the smoke alarm was going off, everything was burning, smoke was coming out of the oven, it was total chaos. And I don't know why, everything was fine and then it wasn't. And what I reckon happened was that whoever was controlling my sim just deleted my action. Deleted like the cooking command, or was just AFK for a bit, because overclocked, where you just let everything burn because you don't do anything, you just leave and go for a wee and you come back and it's the apocalypse. For 5 minutes I must have been stood there just idling, doing absolutely nothing at all, and then when my controller came back, everything was burning. So I don't blame myself, but I'm not perfect. Nobody is, and that's fine. But I will be, one day. Anyway, I'll never not like a full English. I know that will never change. But I was eating one in a cafe, and it was served with tomatoes. Now, the thing to note here is that it wasn't those big tomatoes that they cut in half and sometimes fry and they're kind of cooked. No. Unusually, these were the little cherry tomatoes. And I still don't like the big tomatoes. That hasn't changed yet. I'm still not there. But on this day, with the little tomatoes, I decided, what the heck? And I tried one of them. And wouldn't you know it, I had the time of my life. Now, I don't think times in my life were particularly good at that point, so the bar wasn't that high, but relatively, it was the time of my life. And I just thought to myself, I spent all this time thinking that I didn't like tomatoes in any way, shape, or form, and it came from a valid place, but I spent so long holding on to that I didn't give it the chance for my opinion to change due to me changing as a person, if that makes sense. Not like morally evolving, I guess. I don't think my opinions on tomatoes have a great deal to do with the growth of my moral values, but you get the point, right? You know what I mean? Obviously, this won't be the case with everything. But I don't know, like if you're holding on to things just because you felt a certain way about them for a long time, it might just be habit and the memory that you're holding on to, and the actual thing itself might not be as bad as you think. I'm not saying tomatoes are inherently traumatic fruits, but I think they can be used as a good example of the way in which our minds can overly protect ourselves for the sake of survival. It's doing what it needs to do. It's trying its best. But sometimes we can question it. We don't tell it that it's totally wrong. We just question it. Because often if you tell your brain, like, you're wrong, you're an idiot, you're stupid, it'll just double down. Because then you're bringing about shame and guilt and all that, and it just makes you close in even further. But if you just question it with compassion and with love and go, buddy, is this the thing? Is this true? Then you open up a dialogue with yourself, and there's room to grow like a tomato plant. Oh, the boy is good. I love ketchup though. Ketchup's great, and baked beans. Baked beans in that like tomatoey sauce is good. I like them for about 2 minutes most of the time, until my brain is like, no, actually I still don't like this. But it's a great 2 minutes though. It's not the first time that sentence has been uttered. I wonder if I didn't like tomatoes as much because of the way that King Denethor eats them in Lord of the Rings, while Pippin sings that really, really nice song. Home is behind the world ahead. That one. It's like the way he eats them, it's like villainous ASMR. Denethor is a king that is just basically an asshole and really stubborn, without going into too much lore. But Pippin, one of the hobbits in Lord of the Rings, ends up acting as his servant, and Denethor asks him to sing him a song while he's chowing down on his dinner. And the detail in which he is shown to be eating these tomatoes and chicken and like, ugh. It's gratuitous. It's so like, he's like biting into these tomatoes and there's juice going down his face and it's like, bleh. But this scene is like juxtaposed with a scene of like a literal war going on basically down the road. And it's like, oh no, you don't do anything. You just sit there and eat tomatoes while you make a hobbit sing for you, you fucking pleb. So that's why I don't like tomatoes, basically. So let's move on to roll. Keep rolling, 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 rolling. What? I saw Limp Bizkit last year, actually. They were really good, from what I can remember. That was a Limp Bizkit song, by the way, if that intro didn't make any sense. I didn't just randomly start talking about Limp Bizkit. Limp Bizkit are a band, by the way. This much we know. I saw them in Gunnersbury Park with Pendulum, Kenny Hoepler, I think. I'm actually getting really back into drum and bass at the moment, which is weird. I have no idea where that came from. You ever have that? Just all of a sudden, your brain just goes, it's time to listen to this again. I woke up with November Rain by Guns N' Roses in my head a couple of mornings ago, and there is no reason for it to be in there. I haven't listened to that song in years, but all of a sudden it was just, in the cold November rain. Like, that was just in there. Like, as the second I woke up, it was so weird. It was like, that was my brain's alarm clock. And it's March, man. Like, oh God. Yeah, no idea where it came from. Not complaining, though, at all. I really like drum and bass. I've got to be careful, though, about listening to it in the shower. I listen to a lot of music when I'm in the shower. And drum and bass, kind of by its nature, gets you going pretty well. And the shower is not the most stable of places to start jumping around and throwing your limbs in the air. I'm all for somatic movement, but I'm not here for broken limbs. I've got a marathon to run, people. I could definitely do without that. Somatic movement is a term I actually learned fairly recently. And it basically just means moving your body in a way that releases pent-up energy, I guess. I think. Let me fact check. Somatic movement. Oh, okay, kind of. A somatic movement is a movement that's practiced consciously with the intention of focusing on the internal experience of the movement rather than the external appearance or the end result of the movement. So it's about feeling the movement and not giving a shit about what you look like. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So it just gets out all the energy, and it's like it's a focus on the movement of the energy rather than like, oh, what do I look like? And the perception, so it's internal rather than external. Well done, Kevin. You just re-explained the whole thing. I think they got it. What does somatic actually mean? Relating to the body. Somatic just means relating to the body. especially as distinct from the mind. Yeah, so it's about getting into your body. Yeah, very much so. So I you know, I've spent a lot of my life in my head, as I'm sure many of you have. And yeah, I find it really helps to get you out of that and get you into your body and into a much more present state of mind. And it's nice. Who needs therapy when you have drum and bass? But role is a really interesting one, because it's another one of those words like friggin', what's that word that a little while ago we had that had different meanings? Camp. That was it. Camp. Like, it had totally unrelated meanings. Role is the same. Well, is it actually? You've got role like, well, okay. You've got role like, well, Swiss roll comes into my head first. Of course it does. Always thinking about something sweet, I am. That's why I'm always thinking of you. Ooh. Ooh, he shoots, he scores. Nothing but net. Absolutely unmatchable Riz there. 10 out of 10. Cut, print, that's a winner. I'm ruining it, aren't I? Yeah, I thought so. Swiss rolls are good, though. Let's get back to that. All types of them. I love them. The jam ones with, like, the, you know, it's like normal sponge, but with jam in the middle. Hella descriptive. And then you've got chocolate ones with, like, buttercream, I guess it is. I don't really know. I think Yule logs are technically Swiss rolls, aren't they? And Colin the Caterpillars. Do you remember the absolute country-stopping discourse of 2022? And I am not talking about the pandemic. I am talking about the Great Caterpillar War. And if you're not from the UK, this probably escaped you entirely. But there is a cake sold by, shit, who does it? Marks and Spencer? I think Marks and Spencer's does the original. Yeah. And it's a chocolate-covered Swiss roll cake. And it's got chocolate caterpillar features stuck on it. Face. Shoes. 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 Yeah, of course. Yeah, caterpillars, widely known for their shoes. That recognizable trait of caterpillars. Not shoes, little feet and some little buttons stuck on for good measure, I think. And his name is Colin the Caterpillar. Now, Colin the Caterpillar is not exclusively used for this purpose, but most of the time, he takes on the role of birthday cake. And he is an incredibly popular birthday cake. So popular, in fact, that other supermarket chains created their own versions of Colin. We had, who did we have? Curly the Caterpillar? Curtis the Caterpillar? Connie the Caterpillar? And they were all like, they all looked a little bit budget. Like, you know, like in like films or TV shows where they clone something and it's just not quite right? It's like that. I think there was a Monty. Like that wasn't even trying. Actually, Monty probably would have been the best or the smartest one, because the Great Caterpillar War was a legal one. It was basically Marks and Spencer's trying to sue the shit out of these other supermarkets for sliding into Colin's corner, basically. And to be totally honest, I can't remember how it ended. I think I've seen the other caterpillars since. So maybe they dropped the case? Or they lost? I don't know. Let's see. Oh, it was Aldi. Oh, there was a settlement. Cuthbert the Caterpillar, that was it. Breach of intellectual property rights. And I think Cuthbert was allowed to carry on. Prevailed. I don't know. It's cake. Let's not spend too much time on cake. Let them eat cake. What I do remember, though, is how long it took me to eat an entire one of those to myself. 16 minutes it took me, and Colin is, I'd say, about 12 inches. Please don't take that out of context. And he's pretty dense. Google it. Google Colin, and don't Google Colin 12 inches, please. But you'll see if you just Google Colin the caterpillar. Actually, I think it says on it that it serves 12, which would mean an inch slice each. So yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, I don't have a ridiculous amount of flexible achievements in my life. Flexworthy. Not bendy achievements. Yeah, flex-worthy achievements, but that is one of them. It might not be Guinness World Records-worthy, but I'm proud of it. I am proud of it. I can also do a damn good roly-poly. The action, not the other dessert. I can finesse one of them. I'm really good. I'm like a damn... What rolls? Armadillo. When I roly-poly. Just be dodging everything. Whoa, I'm like Sonic. I am like Sonic the Armadillo. Sonic's an armadillo, right? I'm going to gaslight you into thinking that Sonic's an armadillo. Yeah, I'll dodge anything. Come at me from the back. Boom. Front roly-poly. From the front. Psych. Back roly-poly. Too fast, boy. Too fast. I have nowhere else to go with that. I just wanted to say that I can do a good roly-poly. I suppose most versions of roll do mean the same thing. Speaking of discourse, that could be a good one. Again, this is normally a British one, but anyone else can chime in. Haven't you people ever heard of closing the goddamn door? No. But the bread argument of whether, say, bacon, a couple of pieces of bacon in a sliced open, how do I explain this? Like bread, but not like a loaf of bread, not like sliced bread. It's not a sandwich. Well, I'd call it a bread roll. Is it called a bacon roll? A bacon bap? A bacon butty? There's some others as well. I can't remember all of them, but it changes depending on where you are from in the UK as to what you call it. And it's actually quite a vicious argument. I've heard some people get quite heated over it. But personally, because I seem to have a bit of everywhere in me, in my head it's interchangeable. Sometimes it's a butty, a bap, or a roll. But I think I started off calling it a bacon roll. But what do you call it? Do you call it anything? Do you care? Are you even listening? This is the time where I could actually do with you guys being able to talk back. Actually, tell me. I'm sure I can hear. Go on, try. Tell me. Wait, say it one more time. Wait, what? Oh, right. Yeah, nice. You know that thing where you don't hear someone after them repeating themselves a couple of times and you just agree? And nod and laugh and just hope for the best. Yeah, that's exactly what just happened there. I'm gonna move on now. Now I just want a bacon roll. March. March is number 4. I read a thing the other day. Actually, this is the second thing that got me thinking about this, and now I'm actually gonna go for it. There was a post I read that said octopuses, or octopi, have 8 tentacles, right? Octo, 8. Octagons have 8 sides, etc., etc., etc. Why isn't October the 8th month of the year? I need answers. I need answers. The other thing that got me thinking about this was an episode of Blind Boy's podcast where he was talking about why February is called February and why it's February and not February. And that was to do with back in the day. What was it? Oh, yeah, this was it. February comes from the word februum, which means purification, and februa, which they're the things that are used for purification, like the tools. And these formed part of the preparations for the coming of spring in certain parts of the world. And so it was like a purification festival. And one of the februa that were used were like strips of goat skin or dog skin, skin of something. And there was a festival on the 15th of February every year called the Lupercalia, which was an ancient Roman festival where basically boys would run around with these strips of goat skin or dog skin or whatever they were, and just whip women in the ass, just slap their asses with it, run around and sort of play slap ass chase. So Blind Boy did that research, but what he didn't find and what I couldn't find was there was no way of being like, oh yeah, it was all in good fun, or whether it was like a bit dodgy. It sounds a bit dodgy, if I'm honest. But a lot of stuff has its origins in based in dodgy beginnings. So surprised but not shocked, let's say. So let's hope March doesn't have a dodgy beginning, shall we? Like it's named after a festival of marching over graves or something. I don't know, something like that. Okay, right, I want to do March. I want to find out why March is March. But first, I want to find out why October is not the 8th month. I want to do that first. What the hell, October? What's going on? Okay, so September, October, November, and December are named after the Roman numbers 7, 8, 9, and 10. They were originally the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th months of the Roman year, before July and August were renamed after Roman rulers. They were called Quintilis and Sextilis, meaning 5th and 6th months. Huh. So they just came in and decided to put two extra months in. Great. So when I decide I'm a different star sign, because they brought in a new one, which pushed everything back and made me a Leo, which I identify more as, everyone's like, no, you can't do that. But when the bloody Romans want to do it, it's fine, is it? Bloody Romans. I haven't watched Monty Python in so long. I need to watch it again. Okay, but March, though. March is named after Mars, the Roman god of war. This was also the time of year to resume military campaigns that had been interrupted by winter. March was also a time of many festivals, presumably in preparation for the campaigning season. So is that why they call it marching? I've been looking around, and I can't find an actual origin, apart from it being derived from Middle English or Middle French words from back in the day. But as a definition of march is to go to war, it could well be from that. They did do a lot of warring back in the day. And march. Actually, sir, it's June. You drop and give me 20. That joke was funnier in my head. Should we have one more? April. Where's April from? From the Latin word aperio, which means to open, like a bud. Ah. Plants begin to grow in this month. In essence, this month was viewed as spring's renewal. That's nice. I like that a lot. We are heading into spring now, and I'm very happy about that. My grass got cut in my garden today, and I really love that smell. It's like my second favorite smell, second only to petrichor, which is the smell before it rains. So when grass gets cut, and then it's, no, not the smell before it rains, the smell after it rains. And yeah, when you get those two together, oh my God, I'm like a pig in poop. I'm just rolling around in grass, like I can't get enough of it. So yeah, that made me smile. I think petrichor was in one of the earlier episodes, actually. Yeah, it is. So if you wanna go find out about petrichor and what it is and why it smells so good, give it a little search in your favorite podcast app. And no, I don't have my own personal gardener, by the way. I just live above a shop and they own it. They own the garden, so I don't have to worry about it. Also, sorry, no disrespect, if you have hay fever. I didn't mean to rub it in there. Sorry. I'll move on. And the last word is scar. Had to say it like that, really, didn't I? Scar. Simba, Simba, Simba. There's another word I was thinking about recently, actually. And I like to try to use the last word to leave the episode on kind of a message or some kind of positive twist for you to take forward. And I was thinking about this recently because of a couple of things. One of them being the concept of healing, as I've been back in therapy for a bit, so it's kind of been on my mind. And also, I was talking recently about nose piercings. Well, piercings in general. So these two things have conflated in my mind and brought me to this thought process. So I used to have my nose pierced. I used to have quite a few piercings, actually, but I don't have them anymore. The only one I still have left is my tongue bar. I don't know how many of you know I have my tongue pierced, but yeah, I do. It's crazy that that's the one I've kept out of everything. But it's weird if I don't have it in now. I have a lisp if I take it out. Yeah, I don't know how many of you know I have my tongue pierced. But yeah, it's actually my oldest piercing as well. I got it when I was 13, which I don't recommend. And not too long after that, I got my nose pierced. And when I got it pierced, I was in a relationship. Now, I could be remembering this wrong, but I think she admitted to this. So we'll say allegedly for now. And for the sake of the story, we'll say it's true. My girlfriend at the time really didn't like my nose piercing. She disliked it so much that one night when I was sleeping, she took it out of my nose. And because of it not having been long since I had it pierced, and the fact that I couldn't find it the next morning, I did the little air quote thing then, wonder why. And because she took it out on a Saturday night and it was Sunday the next day and nowhere was open to buy a new one. By the time I got a new one, it had closed up. And I just didn't go through the hassle of re-piercing it until a few months later. Now, here's where the lesson comes in. The first time I got my nose pierced, there was a pinch. It kind of hurt. I felt it, definitely. It was like a wincy kind of pain, but it wasn't too bad. It was kind of fine. The second time I got it pierced, holy shit. It was like getting bitten by a snake, I imagine, probably. Actually, it was probably worse. You know, it's fine though. Anyway, I was like, fucking ow. And I asked the guy why it hurt so much more this time around, because obviously I blamed him. I was like, this didn't hurt the first time. Why does it hurt so much now? What have you done wrong? And he said, well, you had it pierced before, right? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, that's why. Going through scar tissue is always going to hurt more. And I went, oh. And this came back to me when I was in therapy and we were talking about reopening old wounds. You can do the work and you can do the healing. But sometimes, in fact, a lot of the time, you need to be away from the things that caused the wound in the first place. This could be a person, a place, or a thing. And when you've healed, there might be a part of you that thinks you can go back to this thing because you'll be better able to deal with it. Now, in my humble opinion, which is worth I don't know how much, chances are it will hurt twice as bad as before. Because when something like that does heal, it leaves a scar. You are changed. You are not like you were before. And that's fine. But when you go back to the same situation that caused the injury, deep down, you know you're betraying yourself by doing something that only harmed you. Not even only harmed you, that definitely harmed you. But you were thinking, just like the nose piercing, oh, it kind of looked good though, but it really hurt. You're changed now, and you're changed for the better. And it may hurt to keep yourself separated from that thing in your life. I get it. But it will hurt a lot more to re-pierce it and go back. And there is only so many times it can be re-pierced and reopened before it all just starts to break away. And then there's nothing left. We ain't nothing but a nose piercing, baby. And that is okay. You've changed. You're better. Going back leads to nothing but pain. You've made the right choice. And with that, I am going to leave you. I wish you well. I hope you have a good week. I'm hoping by the end of this week, my knee is going to be better. But as a little reminder, if you would like to donate to Alzheimer's Research UK, who I am running the London Marathon for in April, you can do that at justgiving.com/cavernsrun. Or one word, http://. All right, cool. I hope you are feeling a bit more chill than when we first started. I wish you well. Please do take care of yourself. Be kind to yourself. Be compassionate. And I will speak to you soon. Okay. Bye.